morning. Would you just turn to Isaiah chapter 2 for our just a preliminary thought. Isaiah 2 verse 22. Thanks to the AV and the IT department who does all the, you know, the verses and all the words and the graphics and you see our Yurkon, we faint not. Now, what is Yurkon? Europe Convention, those two words, Europe Convention put together, abbreviated Yurkon. That means that every spring we go to Europe. Why aren't we there today? Because of COVID. So we do the next best thing, which is online, here, live services. And we have visitors coming in America from Florida, Kentucky. Pastor Steve is with us this morning. Chicago and New England, and so we're going to have a good time at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, starting Tuesday. 1 o'clock in the afternoon will be a service here that'll be live in Europe. At night at 7 o'clock, also a live service. There is nursery on some days. You can check the schedule. But there's a lot more because the weather. Spring is coming. I mean, it is coming. Now, that means that the deck out there will be a place of fellowship when it's 68 degrees, and we'll be out there, after and before. And Kathy Ryan's got a grill fired up, and we're going to have some. And then also we have pastors' breakfast down at the Fellowship Hall in the mornings at 8:30, workshops at 10:30, a lot going on. Just hanging out, being together in the Spirit, and listening and receiving from each other. So this is a great week. It's a great week to be alive. I want you to congratulate your neighbor sitting next to you and say, congratulate, you're alive this week for Yurkon. You made it. You're alive. You made it. Now, the cafe, we'll have two of the American pastors will be sharing in the cafe at noontime this week. There'll be food there, too. Come and join us. There are all kinds of things going on for our fellowship. So that I wanted to make that clear. So the verse, Isaiah 2:22, and this is very short comment here. This is our theme this morning. Cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils. Now, why did God say that? What does that mean? Cease from man. It's like, don't put your trust in man. His breath is in his nostrils. Man is small potatoes in my life compared to God. God, trust in God. Don't worry about man. Don't worry about man. Don't gear your life to man. Government, money, people, opinions. Don't gear yourself to man. Cease from man who is really a shadow. He is a vapor. He is passing away. He's so powerful, but he's going to end up in the grave. This is what God is saying. The proportion, he's talking proportions, so man has high regard for man, and he fears man. And God, and then when it comes to God, he's little, but he forgets God. He's not thinking about God. He's not in the picture. And God is saying, get that back the other way. Have high regard for me and forget about it. Don't worry about men. Don't worry about it. They're not driving things. They're small potatoes. They're small potatoes. They don't have they look like they have the authority, but there's a greater authority, and we are made in his image, and we have a calling that relates to Almighty God who made the heavens and the earth. Yes, he did. So that's that. Amen. Now, I'd like you to welcome Pastor Steve DeVries. He was a missionary in South Korea for many years. He and his wife, Ann, and he lives now in Kentucky. And I asked him to share a word with us before we do the communion. So today is Communion Sunday. So he'll share a word. We'll have the communion. We'll have a song. And then I'll preach the rest of that message. Okay, let's go. Pastor Steve, you're welcome.
Good morning. Good morning. It's so good to be here. Earlier, I was just, it's amazing to be here. I'd spent over a year and a half since I've been to Baltimore, and this is just stupid. Like, why? But, living overseas over 30 years being involved, never missed convention except this year. So, but like there's a part to it I'm really thankful, for this whole COVID thing. And it's destroyed familiarity in my heart. And, I'm not familiar. And familiarity can really destroy my capacity to receive what God wants to minister. Isn't it true? So I'm so excited. I'm here all week, EuroCon in Baltimore. And if you're around, please be here. Please participate. Like, there's pastors coming in. And just thank you, Pastor Schaller, for putting out the call, saying, hey, come. That's all I needed to hear. And anyway, just so good, so good to see you and to be here. And amen. So Pastor Schaller asked me just to share a little word on the filling of the Holy Spirit in our lives and just a couple thoughts. So looking up this word, like this word to fill something, to be full. You know, there's one meaning we might have of like filling something up and cramming it in. So imagine having a gunny sack, a big burlap bag. You know, you fill it with dirt or potatoes. We fill it with potatoes. And you just, like, can you get one more potato in there? Like, can you get a little bit more straw in there? Just jam it in. No, there's no more. But what about, like, a half a potato? Okay, jam it, like, a little bit more in. But the filling of the Holy Spirit is not like that, right? The Holy Spirit dwells within us. You know, I think many times people maybe have this idea of the Holy Spirit. Oh, Holy Spirit, come and fill us. But this is really not what the Bible teaches for us, right? The Holy Spirit dwells within every believer. He lives in us. So why am I not continually filled with the Holy Spirit? Because there's something else filling me. This flesh, this old nature, the world. And so kind of connected to this message or this thought of like okay, I am a gunny sack. My gunny sack, what is it filled with right now? And so this thought, this picture of Hebrews 1:3, right, where it says that everything was created through Christ, and he sustains all things by the word of his power. Everything that is created, this whole universe, this everything is continually being sustained by the word, by the rhema of God's word. And in a moment, that word could be removed, and every atom, every molecule, every particle is just, it's gone. Imagine that. So then reflecting back on what's filling my gunny sack, this flesh, this old nature, living in this world, I feel like living in this world is just trying to cram so much garbage. Turn on the radio, turn on the news, turn on, like, read this, that. It's just like jamming, trying to cram more and more garbage into me. But what sustains that? What sustains this old nature in me? Like, why? And I think it is also a word. It's a lie. It's words that continue to uphold this old nature in me. It really has no substance because we're new creations. It doesn't define us. But for whatever reason, I may allow it to come back and control my mind and my emotions to fill me. And living in the world, my mind is set on the things of this world. It just keeps jamming in. But the Holy Spirit dwells in us. The Holy Spirit dwells, and it's not like that. Holy Spirit dwells in you. And he is not like something being jammed in. He is like living water. And so just a couple of Ephesians 4, 29, 30. Starting 30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Let those words go. Let those words have no rule, no substance, no maintaining power in your heart, in your soul. 32, but be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. We're new creations. Know no man after the flesh. Verse 20, let no corrupt word proceed from your mouth. That gives sustenance, or that gives energy to the old man. To fill me, to fill the gunny sack. But let it go. Speak words that are true and let that just dissipate. Has no power. Boom, it's gone. And the Holy Spirit and the words of God fill us again and again and rule my mind and my heart and my emotions and my tongue. And so we have like Ephesians 5:18, do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation. So many things in this world is dissipation. It's useless foolishness. Garbage. Garbage in my gunny sack. How much more can I get stuffed in there? I don't know about you. I had enough of it. It's enough. Like, let it go. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. In the next chapter, Ephesians 6, right? We're not fighting against flesh and blood. This is warfare. We're in the midst of warfare for souls, and we don't have carnal weapons. We cannot expect to win this war with the garbage in the gunny sacks. No matter how reasonable it might be or good it might be, it has no power. But we are filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells in you to be filling us, continually filling us. Like new water springing up in words of eternal life. And these old gunny sacks actually speaking life from them. to one another. And we stand against principalities and powers, rulers in high places. We're victors. Let's be filled with nothing but the Spirit of God and His Word. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Keep in prayer this week as we really look to God for the week, that the Spirit would be moving and leading us as brothers and sisters, humble brothers and sisters around the world. And we are living in the end days, I believe. We really are at a time where we could see a lot of bad things happening, you know, potentially. And then we could see a lot of really good things happening at the same time, okay? Bad things and good things, same time. Wow, isn't that amazing? When Jesus was here, there was a lot of bad stuff going on, and he was crucified. There was a lot of good stuff going on. People were discipled. People got saved. They were healed. They were fed. They were encouraged. They were believers. They were born in the kingdom at a time that was challenging. It was hard. So let's say a few things this morning. Turn to Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man brings a snare. The fear of man brings a snare, a trap. A trap, okay? So you're going to help me preach the message. So I'm going to ask you every once in a while, stop, turn to your neighbor, ask them. And so, okay, first one, trap. What's a trap? Okay, turn to your neighbor and ask him, what's a trap? If I fear men, that's a trap or a snare. So I asked over here, we have bear trap, mouse trap. When something grabs a hold of you and keeps you, you can't get away. There are financial traps. Anybody identify with that? Financial traps. I got caught. The salesman said, but it didn't work out that way. Government could trap. My friend could trap me. My wife, child, institution, any number of traps. But the fear of man is not a good thing when we fear men. Okay. I have a paragraph here. At times, the world can be a dangerous place. By the way, the purpose of the message is to encourage you. Okay, I got to make that clear in the beginning. Well, actually, it's going to get good. It's going to be good, but listen. Edifying. This is good. All right. So at times the world can be a dangerous place. We encounter all kinds of strangers. Sometimes they are kind, but sometimes they are not. And it pays to be ready. There are those waiting to lay traps for us. We meet some people who want everything, including what is ours, and will do anything to get it. We learn a few things about honesty and dishonesty and choosing the right kind of friends. These lessons in prudence are important. We discover because the virtues are not always in abundant supply. In fact, we learn wisdom and virtue from our failure as much as our success. We will make a few wrong turns and fall into a few traps, but, and this is where my message comes in, point number one, regeneration. Regeneration is a theological word from two places in our New Testament. One theologian writes, "Few doctrines are more fundamental to effective preaching than the doctrine of regeneration." I want to make a point on this. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but by the washing of regeneration, we are saved by the gift of Christ to us. Christ is born in us when we believe. And it doesn't happen in periods. The filling of the Spirit and walking in the Spirit and sanctification is growing, and there are phases and growths and experiences. But regeneration happens at one point in time when you believe. And that holy thing that is born in you is called the Son of God. That's what the angel said to Mary when she said, "Let it be unto me according to your word." And the angel said, "The holy thing born in you shall be called the Son of God." This is the new birth. This is very important in our theology, in our understanding of our new life. Every one of you this morning that believes in Christ, you are regenerated. The word is also used for the earth being changed, Matthew 19:28, when Christ returns and the earth is changed. There's a change in the earth. There's two times, at the millennium, the earth is changed, and then the eternal age, the earth will be changed and glorified. The earth will be glorified one day. So it's just as if a man was dead in a grave and God, by his power, raised him from the dead. Did the man do anything to do that? Did he do anything to have his body raised from the dead? He did nothing. His body was dead, but he was in heaven. But when God decided to raise his body from the grave, it was totally a work of God, 100% God. God raised that dead body from the grave. In a similar way, regeneration is not something that you participate in other than believing in Christ. What is it to do the will of God? What is it that I must do to inherit eternal life but to believe in the one that God has sent? John 6:28 to 29. In believing, you are justified, and the work of the Spirit is you are regenerated. All right, so this is important. Regeneration is found only twice in the New Testament. I just taught you that. But it's been appropriated as the general term designated the impartation of eternal life. Only one of the two instances in the New Testament uses in this sense. That's Titus 3:5. The washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. It's translated new birth, reproduction, renewal, recreation by Thayer, the Greek lexicon. This applies not only to human beings, but also to the renewed heaven and earth in the millennium. In relation to the nature of man, it includes the various expressions used for eternal life, such as new life, new birth, spiritual resurrection, new creation, new mind, made alive, sons of God, translated into the kingdom. So, here is the gospel. Man has sinned. He has death in him, a curse. He has a sin nature. He is in a cursed world. It's actually, in many ways, a dangerous world. We are in a world with a sin nature, and we have not any thought of God. Turn to Psalm 10, please. in verse 4. This is an amazing text of Scripture, Psalm 10. Remember Psalm 10 if you are wanting to learn the Bible. Remember Psalm 10, maybe for what we see happening in the government of the United States of America. To be very honest, and it happens in every government everywhere in the world, but you see also not only in the government, you see it in organizations, you see it in businesses, you can see it. It's not a good story. It's sad. It's sad, but it's been all through time because of the sin nature. You know, the sin nature of man. Look at verse 4. I mean, and the whole psalm could be taught. It'd be incredible, this psalm. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. God is not in his thoughts. Why? Because it's not in man. I was in Hawaii, in the North Shore, where there's a lot of surfing going on. I was walking along the beach, and I saw two young men with surfboards, and I stopped one of them. I said, "Hey, could I talk to you?" He goes, "Yeah, sure. What's up?" I go, "Well, is it awesome here, surfing?" "Yeah, it's amazing." I said, "When you're out there on the water, this is beautiful, the sun is shining, the waves are perfect, everything about it, do you think about God?" "No, I don't." So I'm thinking maybe he doesn't understand me. No, I mean, like, you're young and healthy, and you know, it's like awesome, it's like beautiful out here. The sky, the clouds, everything. Do you think about God? He's like, "No." He looks at me like, "No, you know, no, I have no idea what you're talking about." Why is that? Why is it that people don't think about God? Why is it that is that the nature of man? It is. You may not believe it, but that's very, very common. Now, wait a minute. Before you were saved, there were times maybe you thought about God, just like with that boy. I asked him how old he was. He said 17. And I gave him a word of encouragement, and he went on his way with his friend. But my point was to share the message, of course. But I didn't do it then. Didn't feel led to do it. But I encouraged him. Okay. There were times when I did think about God, but then they were gone. Those thoughts, they were not. It was not in my thinking. Why? I wasn't regenerated. What do you mean? Well, when you are saved, you are given a new nature and a new heart and a new spirit. And now God is your Father. And now it says in Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, is it, we cry, "Abba, Father." There's something now that happens through our new birth where we are in fellowship and communion with God. And actually, it goes another way, and it's Psalm 40. Please turn there with me. Psalm 40 in verse 5. This is David writing this psalm. "Many, O Lord, my God," Psalm 40, verse 5. "Many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. They are more than can be numbered. If I counted them, I could not even count the number of thoughts that I have about you." Where did that come from? It's the new nature that you have. But you might say, Pastor, the world is a troubled place, and it's very easy for me to forget God. The world is a troubled place. There are people that want to steal my lunch and my stuff, and I'm already in a trap or two. I'm in a hard place. And we say, this is the message for us. This is good. Because some of us are learning. We are learning. And if you're new in this church and you're opening up your Bible and learning the Bible, this will be happening to you these coming weeks and through the spring. You'll be learning your Bible and keep coming. And you might say, I don't know anybody here. I don't know many people. I'm more by myself. Well, you will learn. You'll get friends. It'll happen. You'll just stay in there and walk by faith in God because you are regenerated. Wait a minute. You were not, when you were born into this world, you were not regenerated. You were born the first time. That's the first birth. That God was there in the delivery room. It says that in Galatians chapter 1. It says, Paul said, That I want to get it right here. It's because it's so good. It just evaded my rusty memory there. It says, it pleased God. Here it is, yeah. It pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb. It pleased God who gave... When I came into the world, it pleased God that I had the first birth. But the first birth doesn't give me God's mind, God's heart. It only gives me a sinful nature, a physical existence, and a lot of questions about life. And to be honest, a lot of traps. And there's actually a lot of potential trouble that comes into this world with my first birth. But my new birth, my second birth, you must be born again, is a miraculous gift of grace given to whoever believes in that nature Christ is in you. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live yet, not I. But Christ lives within me. This is where we're living now. Christ lives within me. The Spirit of Christ is in us. The fellowship with God. And the thoughts are innumerable. Like as many as the sand by the sea. There's a new mind and heart. And it will be forever and ever. It starts in this life. This is the knowledge of God is eternal life. John 17:3. Many people think eternal life is duration. Eternal life means life doesn't end. But actually, I shared with somebody that was not a believer. I said, would you like to have eternal life? The guy looked at me and goes, no. No way. What is he saying? I don't want this life to continue forever. I don't want this life to continue forever. No, no way. And I said, what if your life was perfect? What if you had Christ's mind? What if you had all your sins forgiven? What if you were made in the image of God? What if you were glorified with no pain, no sorrow, no sickness, no death, and you're with other family members that had the same thing? And so that changes the conversation. Okay. Now the part I want you to notice is, we're not there yet, but it's Isaiah 51. In verses 12 and 13. This is the closing part, but before we get there, we'll cover a few more points here. If a person is born into this world with only one birth, the natural birth, the normal birth. They have a lot of fear. They have, eventually, maybe not as a child or a teenager, usually we're invincible. As children and teenagers, we think we are. We don't have that many fears. But then eventually, we get hurt in life by traps and snares. Sometimes as adults, parents, you stand on the front porch waving goodbye to your adolescent child, child you brought up, and waving them off to school or off to their first job or maybe at their marriage. And you're there, you're kind of saying goodbye to them, and you're just thinking, wow, life can be tough. Do they have what it takes? Do they understand what can happen? It's kind of scary. Especially if God is not in the life. Especially if I don't think about God. I got my surfboard, I got the sun is shining. But what happens when your heart is broken? What happens when you have a drug addiction? When your mother or father die? When you have no home or money or education or job or anyone that really loves you? What happens in this life? There are so many things that can happen. And it's already happened. And God is not in our thoughts. So now let's read the verse, Isaiah 51, verse 12. This is God speaking, even I, we could stop there. I, God, that's so amazing. God is saying, I, yes, me, God, I am here. I am your father. I am the only one that really cares about you. I, God. Wow. Amazing. He's talking to us. Remember in the beginning of the service, I said the proportions are wrong? You know, the fear of man is a snare. Yeah, God, yeah, I believe in God, whatever. Yeah, there are many God, man upstairs. Oh, God, yeah, I know about that. I know all about that and everything. It's like this. They don't know anything. But the fear of man is great. The fear of death is great. The fear of oppression. The fear of the salesman who will steal from me my house. The fear of the government that might take away from me my rights or my freedoms or in some country somewhere that could put me in jail. The fear of a government or a king or a leader. The fear of losing money. The fear of an economical crash. The fear of man is great. But then God says, we're regenerated. And through the regeneration, we have a connection with God as our Father, and He's speaking to us. And this is the relationship that you and I need when our life is complicated and difficult. It is. When we're hurt, we're in a trap. Maybe some brother or sister is in a prison today, and they've been trapped, they've been caught, they are kept, they're not getting out, it's not going to change. That's how they feel. And God is speaking. And He says, I, God. Thank you, Lord. What does He say to us? Verse 12. Am He that comforts you. I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to comfort you. No matter where you're at, I hear the cry of the prisoner. No matter where you're at. By the way, the best thing you could do is make high priority for learning and listening. Best thing that you and I could do, whatever state you're at in this world, don't care who you are or where you're at or anything about you, doesn't matter. The greatest thing a person could do would be to pay attention to what he's saying. And he says, I am he that comforts you. How? By talking to us. By anointing us. By the new birth. You see, we didn't love God, but when we were born again, he loved us first. Now we love God. And this is the great commandment. It's almost like the great key to the universe. You know, you got the whole universe and there's a key, and it's to love God. When the key goes in the door, it's kind of like everything is now, in a way, it's right. Because God made us and put us here. And if somebody takes advantage of you, God is greater than that advantage. If somebody cheats you, God is greater than the cheater. If you get hurt in this world, then God is greater than the hurt that we have. Because he is God, and he put us here that we would know him and have these proportions change. Not fear man, like fear God and have many thoughts about God. And think about God. Look at verse 12, please. It says, who are you that should be afraid of a man that shall die? Whose breath is in his nostrils. Isaiah 2:22. What's another way of saying that? He's kind of like, I'm God who comforts you. Who are you? Who are you that you would be afraid of a man that's like, you know, go to a hospital, ask to look through the window of the surgery and see them open the body and pull the body, the cavity back and dig in there and pull out organs and stuff and then push them back in. And then just say, are you afraid of men whose breath is in their nostrils? How about a man who lusts after women? Maybe he should take a good look at her inner parts and the gory, bloody organs that are inside her body. That would it be worthwhile for me to forfeit my blessing with God because of flesh and lust? Or go to an old people's home and see what was a beautiful woman now is old and in a wheelchair and doesn't have her wits about her. Not to ridicule her in any way, but only to recognize we are flesh. Look at the verse. Who are you? What are you doing that you'd be afraid of a man that shall die? Well, his name is Adolf Hitler. Why wouldn't I be afraid of him? He's nothing. He is nothing. Yeah, but he has an army of 4 million men. That is nothing. Yeah, but thousands of airplanes. Nothing. Yeah, it's nothing. Who is he compared to me? I am God. This is the thing that makes us different in this world. And I hope you can follow it with me. I'm not trying to exaggerate. I'm trying to say what it is saying. God is saying, this is God, and he shall die, and of the Son of Man which shall be made as grass. He's belittling people. And he's saying, you people, you are hurt by them. You are troubled by them. You are worried by them. But it gets better. Look at verse 13, please. And forgets the Lord, thy maker. You're afraid of people because you have forgotten God. You have forgotten God. You're not built up in God. You're not thinking about God. You're studying men and government and economics and every other thing and trickery and deception and history even, everything. But are you a student of God? Do you know who Christ is? Do you know that God came in Christ? that we are regenerated now. We have another language. We have another purpose. We have another resource. Verse 13, and forgettest the Lord thy Maker that stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth. I see in Isaiah, I'll give you the verses here, where we have many times God is, I've got one, thus saith the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out. Isaiah 42:5. Isaiah 44:24. I am the Lord that makes all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone and spreads abroad the earth by myself. Isaiah 45:12. I made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens and all their host I have commanded. Isaiah 48:13, my hand also laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand has spanned the heavens. Isaiah 51:16, that's the one we're reading now. No, a couple of verses later. I plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth. So, what is the point? He is saying, the earth, the whole universe, I did it. I did it. You cling to the dust, but my word, because you're regenerated, my word will enter into your spirit and into your heart, and you will worship me. And as you worship me, you will know the truth, and you'll have many thoughts. But the wicked have no thoughts about God. Their thoughts are nothing. They amount to very little. They have no thoughts about God. They are thinking about, let me say a word about evolution. Evolution totally contradicts our Bible, our understanding of redemption, salvation. When I was an evolutionist, I was at the university studying biology and evolution. Every day I was there all the time. I believed it, everything. And then I just came to the place. I had the posters of Neanderthal man. I had the whole thing in my room. I have studied. I have to write papers on it. The whole thing. I was totally into that. I believed that only because it was the only thing that I was taught. But then I got saved, and I read John 5 and listened to this verse. How Jesus said, "How can you believe what I say if you don't believe Moses' writings?" What's Moses' writings? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the first five books of the Bible. And in Genesis, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and he made out of the dust man by divine fiat, by a decree, by a decision. God made man. That's what I... And then in one Bible verse, I just changed. I don't believe this anymore. It's incredible that a man would come from nothing. I rather believe that he came from God, period. It's the end. The discussion is over. That was the end. It's been more than 40 years or what 50 years almost, 50 years since then. And this is, you know, what I'm saying today. That is the regenerated nature, the gift of regeneration has made it possible for us to relate with God as Father and to hear what he says and to live a life that's different from other people that live in a lot of fear. Let's finish up. It's verse 13. And you forget the Lord, your Maker, who has stretched the heavens and laid the foundation of the earth and has feared continually every day. you have feared continually every day. That's a problem today, because they have forgotten God. They don't know about God. They don't have the knowledge of God. They are not regenerated. They might have religion, but they live in oppression. That's what it's saying. Please finish it with me. It says, because of the fury of the oppressor. Now, an oppressor can be a king. It could be a person, like a ruler. Could be a government. Could be actually pestilence, a disease. It could be an idea that is oppressing me. It could be COVID. It could be a cancer. It could be any number of things that oppress me because I'm afraid. And there's a great answer for that fear. And that's the knowledge of God. And the Bible is telling us that if we could let, we receive the word and let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We have a community of love that casts out fear. We have a community, have kind of a smartness about life. And I want to use that word instead of the word wisdom. It's a good word. Like, we need wisdom. Okay, I have a stranger that becomes my friend, but I don't know if that guy is, I'm not suspicious. But I'm not, I don't know, like, the man could, it may not be good. So, where do you get the smartness to live? Where do you get the smartness to figure things out? Where do you get that ability? I think by being around people that are kind of smart in this way. I think people that are humble. People that are kind of like the Holy Spirit uses them. Like, I want to know people that have a spiritual aptitude, capacity to think with God, many thoughts about God, many messages, many teachings from the Bible. Look at how thick the Bible is, how much God has to say to us. Many thoughts that come that are comfortable and peaceful and build us up in peace and say, that there's nothing on the earth. I have not made you to fear. I have made you to love. And this love casts out in fear. Verse 13. It says, you will not continually fear, but you do fear continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy. And then he says, where is the fury of the oppressor? And I want to say it like this. This is how I read it. And where is the fury of the oppressor? Where is it? It's in your imagination. Where is it? It didn't happen, did it? You were afraid you were going to die of COVID, let's say. It didn't happen, did it? Where is it? What happened? Never did happen. I thought that I'd get cancer, and God is saying to the man without it, it never happened, did it? You didn't get it, did you? You didn't have cancer or a car accident or whatever it was that you were afraid of. The very thing you were afraid of continually every day never happened. You wasted, like, your energy in fearing was all wasted on a mirage, an illusion. A fear that stole from you. It was a trap. The fear of man is a trap, a snare. And it just devours our life. But God talks to us. I, God, am the one that comforts you. I am the one that sent you my son, and he speaks to you. I am the one that will take care of you. Do not fear about your future. Jesus said it many times. Fear not, little flock. He said it many times. Fear not. That's not what we do. And the Lord said, you fear because you have forgotten God. You've forgotten the Lord. But we are rejoicing this morning because we're regenerated and loving God, and we're thinking with Him, and we're learning this book. And by the way, you learn it little by little through months and years and decades. And as I get older, and many of us are getting older, I mean, all of us are, but I mean, we get up there. And, you know, but as I do, there's one thing that I so much praise God for, is that I had a pastor who was serious about learning this book. And I sat there. And I sat where you sat, where you are sitting. And I'm sitting with you today as well, in a way. We're all together. But I sat, and I when I didn't know it or understand it, I just kept going. When I didn't know anybody, I just kept part. As I was listening, I just started to listen and to hear and be willing and obedient as much as I, in an attitude. This is amazing. And then it goes to our children. And then you'll be on the front porch waving goodbye. And you'll be like, in a way, they're leaving the house. You go, yes, yes. And then on the other hand, you just start weeping. Then you start thinking, oh, no, it's a terrible world out there. It's so calm. Like, how will they ever make it, you know? And you go pray, and so on. But you know what? You're going to say, they got the important thing. Honestly, and you hope they did. They got the thing that has made our lives different, unique, and precious. They got what you got has been passed on to you. It says, Deuteronomy 29:29, my secrets I give to you and your children, and listen, and to your children's children. Isn't that amazing? If somehow the grandchildren pick up on it, way down the line, and maybe even goes further. So that's my message today. I went a little long, but I'm thankful for it and for you guys. This is an invitation to everybody listening to come to Jesus and be regenerated. Come to Jesus and you are born of the Spirit. Come to Jesus and Christ dwells in you. He will, come into your mortal body, live in you, but will come into your spirit. You are born of God in an instant, in a moment, a miracle, a work of grace, a gift of God. Nothing you did except believe, that's all. Do it today, please. Say, Jesus, save me. Just say, Jesus, save me. I trust you, your name.